There has been a lot going on in our world in the last few hours, right? A lot going on in your lives and a lot going on in mine. We all have much happening. There's been things that have been happening around the world. Some of those things affect us and some of them don't directly affect us. We are all caught up in a battle, and we don't like it. I don't. It's a spiritual battle. And that battle is going to continue until Jesus Christ takes us home to be with Him, those of us that are saved. When the book of Revelation ends, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." I love that passage because John afterwards states in such a way that proves that that's the next event we're looking for, "Even so come." He doesn't say, "Let's sign the pact with Israel, let's start the tribulation." No, he says, "Come." That's the next event. He just finished writing the whole book of Revelation. I like that because it's a resolving of this issue. This battle, this frustration that we feel in our life, no matter where we are, no matter what's going on. We, in our own personal lives, have our flesh battling against the spirit if you're saved. We know we deal with spiritual wickedness in high places. We know we deal with it all around this earth and this world system that is set up contrary to God, that's fighting and battling against God. In spite of all that's going on, where should we be and how should we live? What is it about us? There is one thing that should be our focus. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I think Paul is just sharing his heart as he comes to this point. Two books that Paul wrote are very, very much emotional. This second book of Corinthians is an emotional book. And Paul says this in verse 1. "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Bear with me as I share my heart. "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. I'm concerned about you. I know you are the Lord's, but I want you to experience all that God would have for you. I don't want you to be turned any other way." He says, "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear." And folks, we get so easily distracted, don't we? "I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Is your life simple? Or is it very complex? I remember when God really struck me with this verse, I was in the pastorate. It was in our second church, and we were growing quite rapidly. We went from 20 to 165 in 3 years, and many of those folks were saved during that time, and we did discipleship. We had 2 or 3 classes going each week sometimes. It was an exciting time. I remember we were remodeling our house. We had a turn-of-the-century home, and it was, you know, had some knob and tube in it for electrical. And we found out that the plumbing was still that old archaic plumbing with, you know, clay pipe and different types of things. And we ended up rewiring and replumbing the whole house. We ended up remodeling the whole house while we were there. All of this was going on during this time of growth, all this busyness of time. I remember my wife being so patient. I remember we had a bathtub out in the front yard for people to see as we drove by. It wasn't that bad until we took the rest of the parts of the bathroom out there, and here is the stool out there too. Before the garbage man come and figured out what we should do with some of it we gave away. But anyway, as we were remodeling all that, it was kind of funny. It was over Christmas. I thought about opening the lid and putting a poinsettia there. No, we didn't do that. But all these things are going on. And I come to this passage in my personal study, and God just hits me with this. Your life is anything but simple. Somehow I'd been moved away from something simple, the simplicity. What he's really talking about in this passage is that your mind should be corrupted or moved away from the single-hearted loyalty to Christ. I was so busy. I was loyal to my family. I was loyal to the church. I was loyal to ministry. I was doing all those things. I was busy. I was loyal to my children. I was loyal to my wife. And I enjoy family. But was I really loyal to Christ? My eyes had moved to all of these things out here, and I lost that single-hearted loyalty to Christ. It's easy for us to do that because the system of this world is doing everything it can to get us to focus on something other than Jesus Christ. I have come to the conclusion that a picture of who I am is a picture of my loyalties. What do I give myself to? Who do I give myself to? That's a picture of who you are. What do you spend time on? What do you focus on? What is your drive? What is your desire? What is your life all about? That's a picture of you. Wow. Paul's saying here, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. What did he do? He deceived her to think that he could or she could find good outside of God. I could find good in another place. In other words, God's keeping something good from me. And so she moved away from God, that secure place, that secure position. She moved away from this relationship with God and sought or took something and ate of the fruit that God said no, thinking this was good. And we can have good things in our life that are out there that we should be focusing on, we should have pay attention to. The Bible even tells us, as we were talking in Sunday school, about our motivations. We do have a duty. I have a duty as a husband to present a life for my wife and to encourage her and uplift her and do everything I can for her. But if you're only doing it out of a sense of duty, you've missed something. I could just imagine if I brought my wife flowers and I said, here, dear, these are yours because I'm doing my duty as your husband. She would look at those flowers and say, if that's the only reason you want to give me flowers, then keep your stupid flowers. She wants more than that in a relationship, doesn't she? Praise the Lord, we have more than that. I do get her flowers, though. Not because I have to, but because I like her to smile when I bring them to her. And I want her to be pleased. And I enjoy pleasing her because we have a relationship. But you look at this passage. That's what he's talking about in this passage. I fear lest any means that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity or moved away from the single-hearted loyalty, this relationship with Christ. and focused on something else, even though this may be good, ministry, maybe it's work, maybe it's family, maybe it's church, maybe it's not, maybe it is sin. That already is a gimme. That's wrong. That's going to destroy and hurt. You know that. Sin always does destroy and hurt. But he's talking about this things in this life that move us away from a relationship with God that is impacting us, that's driving us, that's moving us, that's the reason for our existence. That we come to Colossians 3 and he says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, and we understand what he means, he's my life, we get our eyes on something else. We get our eyes on focused on what we're doing. I remember when I was at this time, I was studying this word simplicity, and I found out that the opposite of this word is double-mindedness. And what does it say in James chapter 1? Yeah, don't be double-minded. Why? Let that man not think that he should receive anything of the Lord. Because a double-minded man is unstable. And you wonder why your life is unstable. Here it is. You've got things in the wrong places. Your focus has moved away from this simplicity in Christ. If he's that single-hearted loyalty that you have in your heart is for him, if he's that place in your life, then God's going to put together the rest of your life. And it doesn't matter whether we like it or not. We are all in a battle. That battle is going on. It's a spiritual battle. And this world system is contrary to God. And so many times we get caught up in the things of this world. We get caught up in the daily things of life. Pastor was right there in what he was saying. It's easy for us to do that because those things are important. Those things are a part of our life. And they do have a function in our life. And we need to pay attention to those things. If you don't do your job right at work, then you've missed out there. You should be a best worker on your job because you're a Christian. You should be the best husband that your wife has because you're the only husband your wife has. At least that better be the case. We're going for simplicity here, okay? I mean, think about it for a minute. What's the focus of your life? What do you pay attention to? What are you all about? Is it about Jesus Christ? He's my life. And he works in me, and he works through me as he sees fit. It's all about him and what he wants. Because I'm loyal to him. I know he'll build my family. He's the creator of marriage. He put it together. I think you ought to know how to keep it together, don't you? I remember we were coming out of Phoenix one time. We had meetings and we had to get back to Idaho real quick. And so we left Sunday night after the service. And we had just done a Sunday through Sunday meeting at a church. And as we finished up at that church, we headed out and we stopped at a gas station that had a Blimpies. Get a sandwich. And I remember talking to the guy behind the counter and somehow we just got into a conversation. He says, well, I'm thinking about getting married again. I said, again? How many times you been married? He said, I've been married twice. I'm thinking about getting married again. I said, well, listen, it sounds to me like you need to study the Word of God because God is the one who made marriage and the author of marriage. He ought to know how to keep it together. And he looked at me like, wow, I never thought of that. God doesn't destroy marriages. He builds them up when they're done his way. So if we focus on Christ, what is Christ going to do? Is he going to destroy your family? No. He's going to put things right. in the right perspective. He's going to put ministry in the right perspective. He's going to put the church in the right perspective. I've had people tell me, we can't make it to church on Sunday night because that's family night for us. I think somehow God made the church and he made the family, and we can't do, he put them in opposition against each other? I don't see that. Something is out of balance here. Something's out of perspective when we don't focus. I love what my sons have told me. Dad, when you and Mom were raising us, you showed us your attention was on the Lord. And my son, he said to me, Dad, I remember riding in the car and you and Mom were talking, and we didn't have money to go to camp because we were in a church that only had 20 at the time we just got there, and camp was starting up real soon, and we were paying rent. We got $1,000 a month. We were paying rent. It was $550 plus utilities, and we didn't have a lot of extra monies, and we just were wondering how we're going to pay for camp. And so I said to my wife, I said, well, I'll just sell my rifle. I grew up in Wyoming. I was a hunter. I had a rifle. I said, I'll just sell my rifle. I don't remember saying that. But my children knew very much how that was so important to me. But they also found out how much camp was important, how much the Lord was important, how much the things of the Lord were important to me, that I was willing to sacrifice whatever for the Lord, for his working in my family, for his doing in my life. The focus is on Christ. Our children need to see that. I just read a thing not too long ago about somebody who was wondering why their children went astray when they didn't go to church more than two or three times a month. Why don't their children want to walk with God? Why don't their children want to serve the Lord? You've taught them that your loyalties are to other things than Christ and his church and edifying and building up the body and building up each other. God working in you, God working through you to accomplish his will. You show them that other things are more important. You think they're going to see the importance of the Lord? He's not the focus of your life. He's not the drive and desire. And then you wonder why all of a sudden when you're dealing with a teenager that's 17, 18 years old, he doesn't want to go to church anymore. And you say, why not? You need to be in church. Why? You weren't. It wasn't that important for you. Folks, our loyalties are a picture of who we are. What you're loyal to, who you're loyal to. And Christ did not build the church and the family to be in opposition against you. They're to work together. And God will put it together when you do it his way. He makes it happen. God will put it together that way. I'm thankful for that. I love this passage because when it came to me and my life, the Lord just simply helped me to understand, you know what? Your focus is on ministry, not on Christ. And I had to confess that that was right. And I needed that single-hearted focus with my Savior. Just walking with him. Enjoying the life that only he can give. Letting him work through me. Did that change the circumstances of my life? No, I was still busy. But I had a different focus. And it changed my attitude about things. It changed my drive. It changed my desires. It changed me. Why? Because now I'm focused on Christ. And you and me, God, let's go. Whatever you want. Whatever you have. You know, if something goes bad, well, Lord, do you have a purpose in this? I don't know why, but let's go. Whatever you want, let's keep working. Let's keep going, walking with you, Lord. It's your life. You work in me and through me as you see fit. But where does this come from? You've got to have a loyalty to Christ to begin with, to be moved from it. If you've never had that loyalty to Christ, you've missed something very basic in your relationship with Christ. It's all about him. I like the psalmist in Psalm 62. Take your Bible and turn there if you would. Psalm 62 has become one of my favorite psalms. You and I are asked to go through some hard things in this life. Some of it will be directly as a result of this spiritual battle in the world around us. Some of it will be the results of other people's sins. Some of it is simply because we are in a battle. Some of it is simply because this earth is cursed. Whether we like it or not, we're a part of this conflict because we're dying. Every one of us is going to die if the rapture doesn't happen first. You're a part of this conflict. There is a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men. And the physical battle that we deal with, our bodies are perishing, the scriptures say. But the inward man could be renewed day by day. We're in a battle. We're in a constant battle. That's why you and I feel a frustration. Because we're in that battle. You ought to feel that frustration. But who's the victor? I'm on his side. It's the Lord. Look at this passage in Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. Verse 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Truly my soul waiteth upon the Lord, upon God. It's about him. It's his life. It's what he's doing. I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to look to him. What does he think about what's going on in my life? There's a lot of people that want God's salvation, but they want it their way. They want it to work out for them the way they think it should work out. That may not be the way God's going to work it out. You see, we deal with death, and I remember when our son Chris passed away because of melanoma cancer at the age of 37. I remember he came home from the doctor. They found it on August 5th. He came home from the doctor not too long after that when they did the PET scan with the results and shared what it was. And they said, he said to us as we sat down in our front room, have good news and have bad news. And he was praying it wasn't in his brain. And we didn't know that. His wife told us that later. He wanted to have his mental capacities all through this process. And so when he shared with us, he said, I have good news and bad news. And the good news is it's not my brain. The bad news is it's everywhere else. The cancer was already fourth stage by the time it showed up in a lump under his arm. And that lump continued to grow. It was probably about the size of a softball or maybe even a small football when he passed away. But it was already in his liver and his lung. It was already in his shoulder. It was in his spine. It was in his hip. It was in his back. It was all over. And when he shared that with us, of course, we're all in tears. But his daughter, 12 years old at the time, said, I hate sin. I hate sin. I hate sin. What's brought death upon mankind? Sin. Why are we dying? Sin. The curse. But God, who can make good come out of bad, has brought to us salvation, that we might have eternal life in Christ, that we might be saved. And we go through a rough life in this world, And some people are dealing with some hard things, and you don't know what the person next to you is dealing with. You may know some of it, but you really don't know. None of us know what each other has. Not really. But we're all dealing with something because we're in this battle, and we deal with a world that is under the curse and it has the effect of sin. But one day this is going to be resolved. Where are you and I, while we're dealing with this in this life, going to find help? It's from God. He is our refuge. He is our salvation. I have hope for a better day. I'm of those people in 2 Peter chapter 3 that looks at this life, and I say this world, it's going to burn up. Scripture teaches us that. But I look around and I say, I'm looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more grief. There'll be no more crying. But while I'm still here, that's all here. And we all experience it one way or another. We all do. We all go through things. I love this psalm. Because of the resolve of David. He gets to this point. He says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He is the only rock. But he's mine. He's my rock. I have a rock that cannot be moved. He's my salvation. He's my deliverance. He's my defense. But I like verse 2 because he says, I shall not be greatly moved. But then he goes through and he says a few things about what's going on and some things that are being done against him. But he says in verse 5, my soul, speaking to his soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Why? He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I like that because that's the same as verse 2. So if you want to learn verse 2 and verse 6, there's only one word that you need to change. He said in verse 2, I shall not be greatly moved. Verse 6, he's come to a conclusion. He's experienced, he's thought about it a little more. Now he says, I'm not going to be moved. I'm staying here. I shall not be moved. I like that's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know it's worth it. It's not a waste. Do you think following the Lord is a waste? Do you think single-hearted loyalty to Christ is a waste? Do you think this is an effort that's not worthy of that effort? Folks, we're missing the boat because there's a battle going on. There's a battle right now that you're involved in for your own life, your own soul, your own destiny in this life. Your own achievements, your own family, your own next steps. There's a battle going on. Where are you going to find that help? Where are you going to find that resolve? Where are you going to find that strength? Where are you going to find everything you need? It's only in Christ. I will not be moved. I'm staying here. I'm staying here. There's nothing else. I'm staying here. Single-hearted focus, single-hearted loyalty to Christ. I'm staying here. I'm staying here. I like that because he comes to verse 7 and he says, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Folks, if you're looking for peace from this world, I got news for you. There's so much things that are going to hurt you, destroy your life if you let it. There are things that are looking to take your life. We all deal with these things. God's your refuge. Run to Him. That's why He says now, from speaking about His God and speaking to His own self, He goes to verse 8 and He simply says to the people, everybody, trust in Him at all times. Trust in Him. It's not a waste. Single-hearted loyalty to Christ. That's where our hearts should be. That's where we should be focused. That's where we should be. And I love this passage because he says, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your hearts before Him. That to me is probably the most precious thing that God asked me. Because God will never laugh at me. God will never say, you're silly for thinking that way. God will help us. God will meet the needs of your heart. Single-hearted loyalty to Christ. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. I know through the circumstances of my life, even as a young man, a child, and growing up, even as being married now, how many years? 43 this year. Looking forward to that. We like to get away. We live in Idaho. That's our home base. And so sometimes we can sneak over to the coast for a couple of days during our anniversary. We love doing that. That's our time. It's kind of a refuge for us, right? The Lord is my refuge. We've gone through some hard things in our lives. You have too. We may go through some harder things in the days ahead. I don't know. There's some things that really hurt. But pour out your heart to the Lord, because He cares. And He meets the needs of our hearts. And He does it in a way that is unique to each of us. For He knows what you need better than anybody else. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all grace. And He gives us the ability to walk through anything He sets before us. Because He's our rock, we can stand in the midst of a storm. We have great ability given to us by our God. But it's because of Him. So as we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that your minds should be moved away from the simplicity, single-hearted loyalty that is in Christ. It's easy to focus on our problems. It's easy to focus on our troubles. It's easy to think I should have something better than this happen to me. We ran into a situation where last summer we came across a family in one of the churches we were in. The daughter was molested by her dad and had a child at the age of 13. Janine had the opportunity to minister to that young lady. She's now 15. And she's a godly young girl. That'll never go away. What happened to her? That'll never be undone. I call them unresolvable things in our lives because it's not going to go away. And there's a lot of things in your and my lives in our past that are like that. I don't know what you've dealt with. I don't know what you've gone through. But you and I cannot allow that to run our life now. Because God's there. He's your refuge. Pour out your heart to Him. Let Him work. Let Him meet the needs of your heart. Let Him be that comfort that only you need in this situation. God knows that situation. He knows what you need, and He can comfort. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for how God works. Because God can make good come out of bad situations like that. I like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things that are before. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want what God wants in my life. God will build me rightly. God will give me what I need as I deal with what I've had to deal with. And I can put those things behind me. If it's sin that I've committed, if it's things that I've done, if it's this guilt that I'm constantly be ridden by, I can put that behind me and say, God, this is me now. This is who I am. God, You're my refuge. You're my salvation. You're my defense. You're my all in all. And I'm going to focus on You with every ounce of my being, with everything I am, everything I have. It's Yours, God. You're my life. That's Paul. And he's fearing. And I fear this too. Because, folks, it's hard. Isn't it? We go through some, I came from Wyoming, we go through some gut-wrenching things that really get us right down into the depths of our souls. But that's the battle we're in. And you can't escape the battle. But you can be on the right side. And you can walk with God. And God gives everything you need as you walk with Him. And we don't need to be corrupted. We don't need to be moved away from that simplicity that is in Christ. He is our refuge. Pour your heart out to Him. This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not on the right side yet. He's provided salvation for any who will come. He's provided salvation by sending His Son to die on the cross for your and my sins, that we might have eternal life through Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. He paid the price completely. He finished it. Why do I know that? Because He rose again 3 days later. That sacrifice was done. If He had never risen from the dead, you wouldn't have a finished salvation. The resurrection proves it's finished. There's nothing more to be done. God Himself sent His Son, Christ, died on the cross for our sins. God taking upon Himself our sins that we might have life through Him. Praise the Lord, God brought good out of bad. We're in a bad situation without Christ. But God brought good. You're in my life as we walk in this life. If you get focused on other things and you start looking to other things, and they can even be good things, but you move away from that simplicity in Christ, all of a sudden you feel like you got tentacles out there everywhere, and you wonder, why is my life so complicated? Why isn't it working? Why isn't it fit? Focus on Christ. He puts it in perspective. And then when we go through difficulty, and we all do at some point, some way, somehow. He's your refuge. He's your strength. He's your defense. He's your rock. Stick with Him. Pour your heart out to Him. He'll not say to you, "You're silly for thinking that way. You're silly for acting that way." He will point you rightly. And He'll minister to you in the way you need. And He'll comfort only the way He can comfort. I was with a friend recently, and I've talked to him about the inability we have to comfort somebody else. I can't do it. I feel most feeble, most inept when I try to comfort somebody else that's hurting. Because I can't. Not the way God can. Only God can comfort. And I can simply tell you about our God and His love and His mercy and His grace. Sure, we care. But where are we in those lonely hours of the night when that heart is hurting? God's there. I can't comfort like God can comfort, but I'm thankful He can. He's our refuge. Pour out your heart to Him. Trust in the Lord at all times. Is your focus, is your loyalty on Christ? Has something moved you away? I hope and pray not. But if it is, you already are seeing in your own heart what it is. You're already seeing what your own focus is, because you can even just take a look at your loyalties. To what do you give yourself? To who do you give yourself? That's a picture of you. I hope and pray today that you've not moved away from, but if you have, that you'll come back to that simplicity that is in Christ. That you'll come back to walking with Him and experiencing what He has, focused on Him with every ounce of your being. My life is yours, Christ. It's all about you. Whatever you want, that's what I want. I want what you want. Work in me and through me. And yes, there is a battle. Give me the ability by your strength and your might to walk through this life. And we can do right and walk right as He gives us His grace, enabling us to do it. Comfort comes from the Lord. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of strength. He said in Psalm 30 or 62, He says, He only is my rock. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for my church. I'm thankful for my wife, thankful for my children, my daughter-in-laws, my grandchildren. But they cannot be what God can be to me. He only is my rock. I hope He's yours this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You that You comfort us. You know our needs. There's people hurting here this morning. Some I know a little bit about. Many I do not know anything about. But God, You know. You know what they need even now. Comfort as only You can. May they pour their heart out before You, Lord. Lord, if there's someone here unsaved, Lord, they need You. Work in their heart as only You can. Help them to understand that their sin condemns them before a holy God. But help them to understand that You love them, that You sent Your Son to die on the cross for their sin, that they might have eternal life. That they might enter into that right relationship with You the way You intend. God, work in the hearts of us as Your people, those of us that are saved, those of us that have entered into that relationship. Lord, if something's come between us, between you and us, Lord. If we've moved our focus, our loyalties away from you, God, and they can even be on right things, working for you, focused on work, can be right things even. Lord, help us to get our eyes back on you. Work as only you can. You know what's going on. And Lord, if there's any believers here that are walking in sin, and they know it, convict and convince as only you can. May they turn to you. May they understand that you are our rock. You only are our rock. May they find in you that strength and that refuge, who you are. God, help us to pour our hearts out before you because we trust you. You're the one that brings good out of bad. You're the one that makes things work. You're the one that builds. May you be the focus of our life. Thank you for this time together this morning. Work in each of our hearts as only you can. And we give you the praise and glory for what you're doing. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.